just shot his arm off. We got pulled over on Larpiner.
I told him not to reach for it. I told him to get his hand open.
You told him to get his ID, sir, and his driver's license. Oh, my God. Please don't tell me he's dead. Please don't tell me my boyfriend just went like that.
Keep your hands where they are, please.
Yes, I will, sir. I'll keep my hands where they are. Please don't tell me this, Lord. Please, Jesus, don't tell me that he's gone.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, sitting in for John Hockenberry. That calm voice there in a moment of terror that you're listening to belongs to Lavish Reynolds. She was on her cell phone broadcasting that scene live on Facebook last night, moments after her boyfriend was killed by a police officer. Philandro Castile was pulled over by police when his girlfriend says he was reaching for his wallet to show the officer the concealed carry permit he said he had for the gun that he also said he had. The officer fired into Castile's arm, and Lavish Reynolds captured what you just heard, the entire aftermath, on her phone. Philandro Castile died from those gunshot wounds. This is the second video of controversial police shootings in less than 48 hours. In Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Alton Sterling was shot and killed by police in a convenience store parking lot. They were holding him down and claimed that he had a weapon. Demonstrators turned out both in Louisiana and in Minnesota.
If you need a hand, we all need somebody to lean on.
That crowd moved from the scene of the shooting to the governor's mansion, where they lit candles and sang for Philandro and the numerous other victims of police shootings throughout the country. The federal government does not have an accurate database of police shootings, but the Washington Post does, and their tally, as of today, 509 fatal shootings by police officers in the line of duty in 2015, including Alton Sterling and Philandro Castile. The editor and publisher of the Reno News and Review in Nevada has been working on a similar database since 2012. Fatal Encounters was the first national database of its kind that tracked police killings. The Washington Post won a Pulitzer Prize for its database, modeled after that grassroots effort in Nevada. Stephen Rich is the database editor for investigations at the Washington Post, and he joins me now. Stephen, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we've reviewed these last two shootings in the last 48 hours, which are just the latest in the long series of cases that you've been documenting, up to 506 now. What do the numbers, apart from and including these last two cases that the country is going to be talking about now, what do the numbers say? How have the patterns changed in these high-profile shootings since they became the attention of politicians and the media and the general public?
The numbers really haven't changed on a lot of fronts. The majority of victims are still white people, but black people are killed at a rate of about 2.5 times that of white people. One of the major changes, though, that we have been seeing is the presence of videos is more and more, it's there more often now. We've seen almost as many body camera videos in shootings this year as all of last year combined. So we're starting to see that videos are more present at these scenes, and we're starting to get a little better of an accounting of what happened with these videos, even though in many cases we as the public never get to see these videos.
Of the details of the shooting, and are most of those videos coming from police officer body cameras that are spreading or from bystander smartphones?
It's a little bit of both. We're seeing a lot of the rise in the body cameras. More and more police departments are adopting it, and as a result, we're seeing more and more police officers who are wearing those body cameras during the shootings.
And yet, the promise or the initial promise or part of it of the spread of body cameras, apart from accountability and after-action review, was supposed to be some kind of proactive accountability, right? That if you're wearing a body camera as a police officer, you're going to, I dare say, behave in a more inhibited fashion, or maybe for people who think that police are acting irresponsibly, the body camera will mean that you're not going to make any rash decisions as a cop. But you're saying the numbers don't reflect that yet.
Right. That was the theory. We expected that more body cameras meant potentially less shootings, but in the moment, that's not what's happening. It's just meaning that there are more fatal shootings that have body camera video. And so it's unclear as to whether what that will look like long term, but in the interim, it's not meant a decrease in shootings.
Where are the shootings happening, Stephen Rich, by and large? Like if you paint a picture of where police killing of a suspect happens, where is that place?
Everywhere. There is not a place in this country that hasn't had a police shooting this year. Last year, Rhode Island was the only state that did not have a fatal police shooting. This year, every single state has one through the first 6 months. And so we're seeing them a lot in rural, in urban, in everywhere that you can possibly think of. Police shootings doesn't have a typical place, and it doesn't have an atypical place.
We talked about some of the raw numbers, which you say have not changed since reform became part of the national conversation through all of the well-covered police shootings. What about the details of the cases, the way they go down, whether it's guns or drugs at the heart of it, the race of the cop, the race of the person who shot? Are any of those details changing in a way that you can discern?
Not very much. I mean, the number of unarmed is about the same as what we're normally seeing. The rate of black people being killed is about the same. Realistically, the only shift that we've seen is there's about a 5% uptick in shootings through the first 6 months of this year. How that will play out over the last 6 months is to be seen, but we have seen a little bit of an increase.
Well, Stephen Rich, you're a data guy, clearly, there at the Washington Post, and I know you like to look at sort of the matrix wave of numbers that come down. And from your perspective, what are you looking for as reform efforts start to happen in jurisdictions across the country, whether it's body cameras or another kind of reform? People will always get killed by police. That's inevitable, and many of those killings will be justified. But as a data guy, what will spell success for you here?
We're looking mostly at what kind of reforms are being put in place in individual police departments and how they may take effect. One of the things that we're seeing and that we've seen by studying this over the past four decades or so is that change doesn't happen overnight. And so we don't necessarily expect these police departments that put in reforms to have a sudden shift in the number of police shootings. We've seen it with the NYPD years ago instituted a change not to shoot into moving cars. And now their numbers are greatly down from what they used to be, but it took a while. And so we are looking at the long view of this and trying to see what has potentially made the number of police shootings in certain jurisdictions go down.
Stephen Rich is database editor for investigations at The Washington Post, and he's been tracking these numbers. Stephen, thank you.
Thank you.
You can visit The Washington Post's website depicting this data-driven look at the 509 police shootings in the United States to date. It's called Fatal Force, and when you go there, you'll get a sense of how each statistic, each incident in The Washington Post's investigation boils down to a real person and a real life.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.